Chapter 35. The Easy Life versus Difficult is the Way that Leads to Life. Opening questions. If you claim to follow Joshua of Nazareth and yet your life does not match up with his teachings, what should that tell you? If religious people do life in a way that is indistinguishable from non-religious people, what does that say about the religious people? Does getting cancer, for example, somehow count as some difficulty that came due to faith in God? If a Christian is persecuted for their clothes or their religious meeting attendance or for their holiday observances, is that persecution due to faith in Joshua of Nazareth if he does not teach that people ought to do those things? What is the difference between one religious person, say a Christian, being persecuted for their religious beliefs or practices, and another religious person, say a Buddhist, being persecuted for their beliefs and practices? Look at the lives of the average Christian in the USA. Would you describe their lives as any more difficult than the non-Christian? In fact, most Christians partake in an easy life in the US. They have their money-making jobs and careers in the world, which they spend the majority of their time serving with very little, if any, serious thought to, quote, ministry, unquote. With some smaller percentage of their disposable time and income, they build their religious buildings and have their programs, most of which appeal to entertainment desires, and live just like the agnostics and atheists next door or across town. They have many they call their friends and work hard at being popular with as many people as they can. After all, that serves their businesses. What sacrifices are they making for their supposed faith? What work or jobs have they lost because they spoke a bit of Joshua's truths or any truth? How could that in any way be described as, quote, the difficult way, unquote, that the light states will be the norm for his followers? When confronted with this truth, Christians in nations with Christian majorities will often respond with, well, my mom and dad just died in a car accident, or my sister just got diagnosed with cancer. Now, I don't deny those are difficult trials that deserve compassion, but they are not trials caused by their faith, nor do those trials have anything to do with God. Rather, they are the difficulties and trials and sufferings all human beings face each day, illness, injury, disease, loss, etc. And those are not what the light of the world had in mind when he said it would be difficult to follow him. Contrast this life of the average Christian with what Joshua of Nazareth says will characterize his followers' lives and experiences. Quote, "Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who are entering through it. For the gate is small and the way is narrow or difficult that leads to life, and there are few who find it." Unquote. That's Matthew 7. Quote, "If the world, that is the people of the earth, who don't have Joshua as their leader, hates you, you know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, because of this, the world hates you. Remember the word I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted, sought to harm me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also." Unquote. That's John 15. Quote, "Strive or agonize to enter in through the narrow door, for many, I tell you, will seek to enter through religion and will not be able." Unquote. That's Luke 13. Quote, "Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets, those who spoke God's truths, who were before you." Unquote. Matthew chapter 5. Quote, "A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a slave or servant above his master. It is enough for the disciple that he becomes like his teacher, and the servant like his master. If they call the head of the house Beelzebul, how much more will they malign the members of his household?" Unquote. Matthew 10. Quote, "These things I have spoken to you so that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have difficult troubles, but take courage. I have overcome the world." Unquote. John 16. Those are just a few of the sayings many sayings that convey the same truth, that the followers of the light of the world will have a difficult time while living out their lives in this world, due to our faith in the light and speaking and living out His truths. This makes perfect sense since we believe the light and speak His unpopular truths like God exists and Joshua of Nazareth is the best way to know God. We can know God and what He wants us to know Him, and He made it simple to know Him. God expects us to live out of love for Him and others, and not for money or other things. Absolute truth exists and can be known. All things are not relative. Joshua of Nazareth teaches that human beings will be held accountable for their thoughts and behavior in this life. Joshua of Nazareth teaches that people love darkness rather than light because people are evil. Joshua of Nazareth teaches that He is the only sure way to eternal life. Religion, including Christian or Bible religion, is wrong, misguided, and has its primary purpose to hide the messenger to mankind. We cannot live with or be at peace with our natural or legal relatives if they refuse to follow the light. We will live with other followers of the light, our true brothers and sisters, instead of with others who don't love Him. We are in bondage to fear, self-pride, and selfishness if we don't allow Joshua to take us out. God wants us to practice true love towards one another, which we are unwilling to do. Seeking a materially secure life in this world, refusing to truly share what we have with other disciples, runs contrary to the life and His teachings. There is right behavior and wrong behavior, a right way and a wrong way to live one's life. You cannot live like everybody else and try to be accepted by everyone if you are going to truly follow Joshua. You must be different, and thus we will be rejected, persecuted, reviled, mocked, slandered, harmed, and killed in all cultures at all times for repeating and living out Joshua's truths. Dear listener, that is not an easy life, and that difficult life is totally foreign to the vast majority of Christians in the U.S. and around the earth in Western nations, especially at this time. Go ahead and ask a Christian, hey, what persecutions or hardships have you had to endure due to your faith in God? Most will look at you with a blank stare and ask what you mean. This author has lived in the U.S. for his whole life, and I have experienced persecution due to my faith. I have had children I love wrongly taken from me due to the corrupt people who run the legal system, and I was not even granted visitation rights unless I didn't talk about Jesus or Joshua. Just so you are clear, murderers in prison get visitation rights with their children, but I was not even allowed to speak to my children due to my faith. I was told by the legal people running the system that I was not allowed to talk about Joshua or Jesus to my children, or else I would not be able to see nor to communicate with them. The Christians I was seeking support from during that time turned away from me and treated me like I had leprosy. They just assumed that my then assistant district attorney wife was correct because of her position in the world and that I had something wrong with me. I have lost work multiple times because I spoke unpopular truths or because I refused to ignore Joshua or because I would not affirm people in the wrong things they wanted to be affirmed in. I have been rejected by the Christians wholesale, and when I went into their religious buildings, I didn't last long because I consistently communicated that some of the things they were believing or doing were wrong. In my efforts to preach the gospel to people publicly, I've had stones and bricks thrown at me, ripping my clothes. I have been thrown off of public property, where in the U.S. you are supposed to have a right to peacefully be, just for trying to tell people about the real Jesus or Joshua of Nazareth. I have had my natural Christian family cut me off totally, and my dad even testified against me at the divorce trial that my ex-wife initiated due to my faith. And guess who the majority of that persecution has come through? Christians and Biblians. So I don't speak from an ivory tower or from inexperience when I say that disciples of Joshua of Nazareth will be persecuted. Disciples being persecuted and rejected and slandered and mocked is the normal experience in every nation and culture and during all history. The only things that vary are the disciples' faith and courage and the level of hostility of the people of the world. The more faith and courage a disciple has, the more harshly and quickly they will be persecuted. Getting back to the excuses Christians use to justify faith-related difficulties in life And in addition to pointing to natural difficulties that affect everyone, many Christians respond with something like, well, we are in a Christian nation. That is why we have it easy. While that excuse and the false things behind it are becoming more and more difficult to defend, even for the confused. The U.S. is a Christian nation, but as this book reveals, the description Christian nation is relatively meaningless. It's a label. As we have seen, Christian is merely a religious label, and it is not synonymous with being a follower or disciple of Joshua of Nazareth. And even the ethical beliefs that Christians once held, based on their religious beliefs, are going away so that lawlessness and evil are growing exponentially. The simple truth is that Christians do not follow nor represent Joshua of Nazareth in general, and that is why they have life so easy in the U.S. or anywhere else they don't faithfully repeat his truths and attempt to live them out. The Christians are the ultimate example of the have your cake and eat it too crowd principle, meaning they love their life in this world and thus they live no differently than the people they claim, quote, need to be saved, and yet they think that their religion will get them into heaven. Joshua of Nazareth's truths have been unpopular ever since he came some 2,000 years ago and in all places. No culture is conducive to his truths on how we are supposed to live our lives because human nature is the same no matter what nation, culture, or century we live in. People create cultures and those cultures reflect their thoughts and ways apart from the light of the world. Human nature has not changed and thus people's reactions to the truths of the light of the world have not changed. That is why he prepared us with timeless sayings like, quote, if the world, the people of the earth, who don't have Joshua as their leader, hate you, you know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own, but because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, because of this, the world hates you. Remember the word I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted or sought to harm me, they will also persecute you, and if they kept my word, they will keep yours also. Unquote. That's John 15. They certainly did persecute Joshua, so reason that out. His word was to make him your leader and to follow him. Disciples repeat his words, teachings, and truths today and get the same response from the vast majority of people. They do not keep his word. They do not keep our word. Saying there is a right way and a wrong way to live one's life has always been unpopular due to our nature of wanting to do whatever we want, irrespective of its impact on others. People have always been bound in a cage of self-pride and fear and selfishness. Therefore, when we disciples come along and say, hey, did you know that you are bound in a cage created by your own self-pride and fear and selfishness? The reaction is almost always the same: ridicule, offense, and attack. Ironically, it is self-pride that causes that reaction. We all want to believe that we are free, and we insist on defining freedom from merely a physical or outward perspective. As we shall see in the next chapter, this is great error. Increasingly, the citizens of the U.S. are some of the most non-free peoples of the earth due to their turning away from even a vague God belief and associated ethical standard. While the U.S. could still be described as a nation founded on Christian religious beliefs, the simple truth is that not only have the majority of its people abandoned faith in the Bible God, but they are abandoning even a moral ethic derived from the Bible or their religious sects. What is the average Christian's life like? It is indistinguishable from any other person's life, whether people of other religions or non-theists or agnostics. Earning a good living, code for storing up treasures on earth, is how Christians live in the U.S. Chapter section. So you deny Christian persecution? Many Christians will respond to the prior truths by pointing out the Christian persecution around the world and saying this somehow disproves my point. Joshua teaches there are two types of persecution that will gain reward from God. Quote, blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Unquote. Those are Matthew 5. As you can see, he says that first, though those who are persecuted for speaking out against that which is wrong or immoral or trying to peaceably stop that which is wrong or immoral will gain the kingdom of heaven. This is any person, not just disciples. Any person who listens to their conscience and thus practices fighting nonviolently against that which is wrong or immoral is worthy of the kingdom of heaven. Second, he says that when we disciples are persecuted because of our love for, faith in, and obedience to Joshua, persecuted for being his follower, for our speaking his truths and expressing our faith in him, our reward will be great. Please note he does not say, blessed are those who are persecuted for being different, or blessed are those who are persecuted because of their religion. The fact is that many different groups are persecuted around the world. Almost all religious minorities are persecuted to some degree. The Jews were horribly persecuted by certain German people not too long ago and continue to be persecuted in many places. Buddhists are persecuted by Muslims and vice versa, depending upon where they live and who is the majority. Hindu, Muslims, and Christians regularly persecute one another, and they regularly persecute people of different sects within their own religions. There are many dozens of examples of large-scale religious persecution happening today, even as there are millions of daily instances or expressions of fear, animosity, or hatred towards religious people of all stripes. It is simply a minority dynamic where the majority persecutes the minority for not conforming to the majority and not taking the majority's religious label or engaging in the, quote, right rituals or not using the correct God vocabulary or beliefs. Religious and racial and nationalistic and tribal persecution has existed for as long as mankind has existed. It's one of the base wrongs of people that self, pride, and fear generates. Call it what you will, tribalism, nationalism, the dynamic is the same. We hate you because you are not like us, different skin color, language, clothing, ways of doing things, etc. And you refuse to be like us, religion, or to submit to our great political ruler or our God. Dear reader, the kind of religious persecution just described has little or nothing to do with being persecuted for speaking and living out Joshua's teachings. Christians, known through their clothing styles or religious organization membership or their buildings or labels like Catholic, Protestant, Pentecostal, etc., or holiday celebrations, are persecuted just because of their religious self-identification. Just like Jews or nonviolent Muslims or Hindus or Buddhists or some atheists, etc., are persecuted just because of their identification with those religions or beliefs. They are generally not persecuted for speaking or living out the truths of Joshua of Nazareth. So, for example, if a Christian who is living in a Muslim-majority area is leaving their place of gathering and some Muslims see them walking down the street after leaving their, quote, church, that Christian might be beaten or threatened or just because they are a Christian, not because they speak the light's truths or live his teachings out. I hope this book is making clear the difference between a Christian and a follower or disciple of the historical and real Joshua of Nazareth. Again, in that example, that man is harmed simply because of a religious label or affiliation or self-identification, not because he's speaking the lie's truths or living them out. Now, I don't minimize the courage it takes for a Christian to live in areas where they are persecuted due to other religious people being hostile towards their religion. Of course, the same can be said for other people in their religions like Buddhism. Although Joshua of Nazareth does address that if you have faith instead of religion, he says this, quote, but whenever they persecute you in one city, flee to the next, unquote. If Christians are being persecuted because they are staying where they are and fighting for what they perceive as theirs, like my parents had this house and property and it is mine, then they are partly to blame for whatever harm they might suffer due to their persecution. Of course, the other Christians are to blame for not welcoming the persecuted Christians into their communities. But of course, you need to actually love one another in order to have and live in communities. Since the Christians do not love one another and thus stay apart from one another, there is essentially no communities to bring persecuted Christians into. We will see why in the upcoming chapter, I Love Ice Cream, I Love You. I also don't judge persecuted Christians' faith one way or the other. If they are being courageous due to faith and acting out of love, and their behavior is consistent with Joshua's teachings, then good for them. They're doing well, and I commend them. However, and as we have seen, it is far better to know the God you have placed your faith in, because much is lost through ignorance. Quote, "This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and me, Joshua of Nazareth," not the Bible, "whom you have sent." John 17:3. When we do something right by chance or in ignorance or without right motivation, what reward do we deserve? Or if we do something out of ignorance or without the right motivation, will that please the person that hopes we would serve them out of love? Lastly, it is a fact that Christians persecute other non-Christians as well as Christians who belong to a different sect. In contrast, disciples of Joshua persecute no one because we have overcome the self-pride or fear or selfishness that drive most persecution. Chapter section. Christianity in a nutshell. So, this section has described the sad state of the successful failure that is Christianity and those people who make up the religious system and its organizations in the name of, quote, Jesus Christ. The success in drawing people in and collecting money from them in order to build their fiefdoms, their buildings and programs and, quote, ministries, all the while failing at carrying out what their proclaimed God says. This is the successful failure. Now, there are many well-intentioned and decent people who take some Christian label and participate in Christianity and its local organizational expressions they call the church. Many are sincere in what they believe and are decent moral people. That is, they don't intend to harm people. Some spend some time doing good stuff like giving poor people money or traveling to other countries for a week to help some materially poor people build some housing. Unfortunately, those things, while good, are the lesser things that God wants and expects of all human beings. In other words, there are Muslims and Jews and Hindus and Buddhists and atheists and agnostics who do the same or similar things that the Christians do, and it is not because they all have a right understanding of God, but rather because we all have a conscience given by our Creator. That conscience encourages us, pushes us, chides us, reminds us, whispers to us, points us to do good instead of evil. Here is the problem stated from another perspective. If you don't know the directions to get somewhere, you are highly unlikely to ever get there. If you do know the directions, you have a good chance of getting to the destination, even if you make a few mistakes. While the vast majority of Christians and Biblians do not know the messenger's teachings because they are not listening to him, and thus, they don't know the directions. This is what is meant to be lost, and yes, it is true, many are lost in their sincere Bible and Christian religion. So, what is the simple, undeniable truth regarding the human race and love as defined by the standard given by the Creator? Please hear his words. Quote, "This is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and men loved the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil." Unquote, John chapter 3. That the people of the earth, especially Christians who use the Bible to hide the light, love the darkness rather than the light, and their lovelessness and all its manifestations is the great evil. And what is the first reaction from those with no faith or humility? Oh, I am not evil. My deeds are not evil. I love Jesus. Unfortunately, for many who utter such things, they are merely self-deluded falsehoods based on the wrong standard to judge what is evil. The self-deceived religious people say, I don't murder, and I don't purposely harm others, and I don't smoke or drink, or I don't use drugs, and I don't, etc., etc. And the list of don'ts goes on and on, but they have the wrong standard to judge whether they are evil or not. The light says, love one another, and Christians are not doing this, and yet they believe that abstaining from overt acts of harming others or oneself is what makes a person acceptable to God or a good person. They could not be more wrong. What makes a person evil is rejecting our Father's love and truth and therefore refusing to truly love others. What is the greatest evil above all others? The lack of love for our Father and for others is the greatest evil. The sad truth is that the normal and average Christian lives no differently than the average Muslim or Jew or Hindu or Buddhist or atheist or agnostic. You will know the Christians only by their love for their book, the Bible, and their traditions, their attendance at their religious entertainment meetings in the building they call the church, their self-righteousness, and their lovelessness. Sadly, you will also know the Christians by their ignorance of the teachings of the one they call their God. If you care about what is true, then you will listen to the light and believe what he says. Quote, "This is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and men loved the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But he who practices truth comes to the light, so that his deeds may be manifest as having been wrought in God. John chapter 3. If you care more about yourself and your life in this world, then you will not listen to the light. The religious people are the try and have your cake and eat it too crowd. They're quite a bit less honest than the non-religious crowd. They're like the most adept tap dancing lawyer that can turn yes into no or black into white with a mere flick of his or her tongue. They have built up for themselves a self-serving delusion that they are not soon going to give up, for they really like the house they have built for themselves with its multicolored flashing lights. This is the current sad state, the successful failure that is Christianity. In the next section, we'll move on to describing the solution to the successful failure, or stated another way, how we can minimize true failure and maximize true success according to the one who gets to define those things. Chapter summary. Joshua of Nazareth plainly teaches that those who choose to follow him will suffer in this world. We will be rejected, persecuted, reviled, misunderstood, mocked, slandered, etc. There are no time or cultural exceptions to that truth. The way is difficult in all times and all cultures because truth about human nature and our ways is an offense in all times and all cultures. Christians in the U.S. and in many other nations live lives that are indistinguishable from the very people they say, quote, need to be saved. Normal difficulties like illness or acne or loss that all people experience do not amount to being persecuted for faith in Joshua. Christians are persecuted in various places on the earth, but they are generally persecuted for their religion, not necessarily for their faith in Joshua, just like many other religious or political or tribal minorities are persecuted in many parts of the earth. Christians persecute other non-Christians and even Christians who belong to different sects or divisions or denominations. Christianity, while successful in the world's eyes, is a failure in the eyes of the one who said, "Come, follow me." Christians in general do not know nor speak the light's truths, at least his unpopular ones, and then they do not live according to his teachings. If they did, they would be persecuted in all nations, particularly in Christian nations. Section summary. Christianity is a religion. It is not faith in Joshua, and it does not lead to life. Religious people have hidden the light in the big book they call the Bible. If you surround the truth with enough falsehoods and lies, most people will never find the truth. Most of the beliefs about God that Christians consider essential or foundational are false when compared with Joshua's teachings, and no sects that I am aware of have love as their most important belief concept, let alone attempt to practice it. The Christian gospel is an admixture of Hebrew religious beliefs and popular beliefs, and it presents a heaven can be gained for free if you just believe this God stuff gospel. Christianity's gospel is significantly different than the good news that Joshua of Nazareth brought to mankind. Going to church has wrongly become the main Christian work that they do and try to be accepted by God, just like observing the Sabbath was for the religious people of Joshua's day. Christian leaders attempt to hide the contradictions, falsehoods, and problems with their religious beliefs using complicated theology or concepts. They nullify the light's teachings using various forms of religious relativism and alleged language expertise. Christian religion is essentially a hobby for most, albeit a fear or guilt-driven one for many. And one of the favorite chasing unicorn practices is to, quote, find God's will for my life. They do this to avoid actually living according to Joshua's teachings. One reason many people reject God is due to Christianity's claim that God is all-powerful and all-loving. They know, since reason, logic, and observation inform them as such, that that claim is false. Christians are no different than other religious people in this respect in that they often don't care about what is true and instead go with their religious dogma. Most things really worthwhile or memorable or character building in life are difficult. This is very evident in athletics or where people were injured or disabled and had to work very hard to accomplish something. Being Christian is in no reasonable way difficult for the vast majority of Christians all over the earth, but particularly in the US and Europe at this time. In contrast, following Joshua is difficult in all times and cultures, but it is also the most worthwhile and noble thing a person can do with the life we are given.